This week's Parsha podcast was sponsored anonymously. May it be a great merit for the sponsor and their family. You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5784, 2024. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Emor. And in our Parsha, in chapter 22, verse 27, the Torah says, Shor Oichesev, Oyeis, Givolit. Hashem says to Moshe as follows, that if, let's say, you have an ox or a sheep or a goat that shall give birth. Okay, so we have a baby goat, a baby ox, a baby sheep, a lamb. So for the first 7 days of that baby's existence, so that animal needs to stay with its mother. And by the seventh, after the seventh day, by the eighth day, so then you can bring that animal as a korban, but before that it's not permitted. Okay, we're going to see together a beautiful medrash, a few different ideas, important ideas. But the basis of all of these ideas is that when it comes to a korban, you need to wait 8 days. And as we'll see, what is the idea of waiting 8 days? Why can't you use an animal right away? So the idea of 8 days is connected, the Medrash points out, to the concept of waiting until the eighth day to give a bris, a circumcision to a baby boy. Now, what is the idea here? So before we get to that, I'd like to show you the Baal HaTurim, which echoes what we're going to see in the Medrash. He says, V'ayoshiv asiyam v'goymer, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im yishcha b'yam rishon, yeinira k'shoichit l'shem shamayim v'aretz. When we bring a sacrifice, when we offer something to God in the Holy Temple, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, so there are implications based on what we're doing that can be unintentionally implied. If we bring the animal on the first day of its existence, says the Baal HaTurim, so it could look like or could be misconstrued that when we bring the animal on the first day, it's because we are dedicating the animal to that which was created on the first day, which is heaven and earth. And that's not okay, right? The ancients, they used to serve. One of the idolatries, the classic idolatry, was the sun, the stars in the heavens, the moon, etc. The earth, they would worship the earth. And there are some till this day who do so. So the Baal HaTurim says we can't bring it on its first day of existence because it would look like that's who it's being brought for. What was created on the second day of creation? The heaven. It would look like we're bringing it on behalf of the heaven. The third day of creation, what was created on that day was the sea, and the dry land. It would look like if it was the third day of the existence of the animal that it's being dedicated to those items, v'yam revi, l'shem ha'ayis, v'yam hei, l'shem shiratzim, v'yam vav, l'shem adam. If it would be brought on any day before the eighth day, so it would seem like we're dedicating this animal to that which was created on that day, which is interesting because still there is a recognition that God created all of these things. Now, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, didn't have to be something that denied God's existence. There's something called Shituf, which means that you believe in a higher, you know, an all-encompassing power, which is God. But you believe, a person who believes in Shituf believes that God is too high and mighty to be concerned with us. So let's talk to his creations, his princes, his Sarim. Says the Baal HaTurim, we need to wait until the seventh day has passed. 7 days of the life of this animal. By doing so, once we've passed by 7 days, once we've gotten through the 7 days of creation, so to speak, as they parallel the first 7 days of the life of this animal, so there's a recognition there's an implicit recognition that God created all of these things. When you get to the number 7 and you pass 7 and you get to 8, you recognize that God created all these things. God rested on the seventh day. And there's a recognition of God being the supernatural force that created all of the natural forces that we see. And therefore, by waiting this amount of time, it shows that the korban that's being brought, the sacrifice that we're bringing, is not being brought for any other force that's created by God, but only to God Himself, the one who encompasses and creates all of these forces. That's how the Baal Turim brings it down. And I thought it was kind of cool because it's very much similar to what the Medrash says. Let's see the Medrash inside. So it says, V'hayoshivas yamim tachas imoy. The animal is to be 7 days with its mother, meaning you don't take it away. You don't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple, as a sacrifice. Only on the eighth day is it permitted. Rabbi Yeshua de Sichna b'shem Rabbi Levi omer mashal ha-melech shenichnas l'medina. Rabbi Yeshua of Sichna said the name of Rabbi Levi, it's a mashal, it's an analogy to a king. That he comes into his country, v'gozer v'omer kolach senon she'yishkan. He says, look, any visitors that are here who would like to have an audience with the king, with me, lo yiru panai ad she'yiru panei ha-matshorena t'chila. If they want to have any audience with me, they first need to pass by and be seen by the queen. The queen has to review. And you want to get to me, you have to first get past my wife. The queen, she has a, I'm adding this, it doesn't say this in the Medrash, but she has an amazing sense for who is safe to be seen by me, who has a genuine request, something that's worth my time. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what God says. Leitaviu lefonei korban ashetavar alav Shabbos. What's the queen of God, as it were? What's, we could talk about Shabbos as Shabbos Malkisa. It's the day of it's a day which is a queen. So Hashem says, do not bring an animal to be sacrificed before me until it has passed by Shabbos. The animal has to have cleared the test of Shabbos, which is the queen, as it were. Shein shiva yomim b'li Shabbos, ein mila b'li Shabbos. That is true for an animal that has to go through 7 days. It's not going to be possible for it to not pass by Shabbos. And a human being, a baby boy, in order to get a milah, circumcision has to wait till the eighth day also, because this way it will for sure have passed through the day of Shabbos. Now, so the first thing that we see is it's a slightly different approach to the same concept that we read in the Baal Turim. Baal Turim said each and every day before that it could represent a different aspect of creation. We want to make sure that you've cleared all those aspects and you're giving it to God Himself, the all-encompassing aspect. But here's another aspect, which is that the animal or the baby boy, in order to have his bris, they have to have passed through a Shabbos. They have to have experienced the holiness of Shabbos. That's concept number two. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mishpat Adam u'Mishpat Behema Shavim. Rabbi Yitzchak points out that we have a parallel between the law in regards to an animal and the law in regards to a human being, to a baby boy. Mishpat Adam u'Bayim Hashmini Yimol B'sar Alas, Mishpat Behema U'Bayim Hashmini V'Halei Yerotzeh. We see that there's a comparison of sorts, and we're going to examine this further as we continue reading in the earlier Medrash. This one is in section 27, subsection 10, and we're going to go back to the beginning of section 27, and we're going to see that in the first subsection there's another aspect of this, and we'll see how much. It's a very long piece. We'll see how much of it we actually get to. But the idea here is that somehow, and this is important in understanding the concept of a korban, right? We're waiting for korbanos. Every single Shabbos, every single Rosh Chodesh, every single Yontif, we mention korban musaf. We talk about v'sita'enu b'gvuleinu v'sham na'asala fanachas korbanos chaviseinu. We're asking Hashem to bring us back to our land, which means bring us back to the land of Israel, bring us back to Jerusalem, and let the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt so we can bring karbanis again, bring sacrifices again. What are these sacrifices? The sacrifices somehow bring us close to Hashem. They're called a korban. Korban means to bring close. But what is the concept of the sacrifice? There's some parallel that we see when it comes to an animal which is being brought as a sacrifice. Just like the human being has to wait 8 days, the sacrifice has to wait 8 days. Somehow, the korban, the animal, serves to protect the human being. Right? A sacrifice can be brought because it represents our connection to God. This is a holiday, a korban chagiga, a korban pesach. There are different special sacrifices that are brought and eaten by the one who brings them, the kohanim, the priests who bring them. And then there's a connection that's forged between man and God. And there's another aspect of it, which of course is more, people are more commonly aware of, which is the fact that it's a korban, that the sacrifice is brought to atone. Right? But not all sacrifices are brought to atone, but some of them are. We've done a sin. We've done something wrong. We need to have an atonement. Sometimes a woman brings a korban in order to attest to the fact and appreciate the fact that she's had a baby. Sometimes we bring korbanos, a korban taida, it's a thanks sacrifice, which is brought because we were saved from a dangerous situation. But the sacrifices serve to somehow, through this animal, through it being brought on the altar, and through our eating of it, somehow it serves to connect us back to Hashem if we've done wrong, or connect us to Hashem where we're expressing gratitude, or where we're expressing a connection to God through the chag, through the holiday that we're experiencing. But there's a parallel between the animal and the human being. Classically, they talk about it as a person supposed to think that that animal could have been me. That animal could have been me. I did something wrong. I deserve to die. The animal, vicariously, is serving as an atonement for me. But that's true about atonement, but that's not true in regards to a sacrifice which is brought in order to express our thanks to God, let's say. But somehow, the animal parallels us. The animal parallels us. Let's see, on a deeper level, another aspect of this. Hadavar d'chsiv, Medrash, in section 27, subsection 1, says like this. Adam uveima tashi Hashem. Sometimes we don't deserve to be saved. Sometimes, hopefully we'll see a little bit more, sometimes we're righteous and we deserve to be saved because of our righteousness. Sometimes the righteousness of someone else can help me, even though I'm not righteous. And sometimes there's nobody to save me. Not myself and not anybody else. Adam uvehemei toshi Hashem. Sometimes God saves the human being in the merit of an animal, right? Think about it in our context. The sacrifice that we bring, the animal that we bring, can save us from our sin. But on another level, even without that, just the fact that there are animals, right? The Pasuk says that when it came to the destruction of Noah, in the times of Noah, the Mabul, the huge flood that destroyed the world, it says that the animals were also destroyed along with them. There were animals that were saved by Noah. Right? God doesn't want to completely destroy all of the ecosystem that he created. He wants the animals too. There's some aspect of the animals that actually, sometimes they can be brought down with the human being. Their lives will be lost along with the human being. And sometimes the animals will save the human being, the Medrash says. Adam b'schus behema, tashi Hashem. The human being can sometimes be saved because of the animals around him. What does this mean? Amru Yisrael, the Jewish people says like this, the people of Israel says, Ribbono shel olam ki adam anachnu. Master of the world, we are like humans. Ki behema tashienu. We are humans, we have free will. We make choices and sometimes we make the wrong choices. But save us like an animal. An animal doesn't have choices. Why? Why should we be saved like an animal, says the Medrash? Because an animal follows after its master because it's pulled after its master. There's a prayer here. Adamu v'hema toshi Hashem. We're asking God, save us like an animal. What does it mean? It sounds very negative, but it's not a negative thing. It can be expressed in a positive way. An animal is pulled by its master. We're asking Hashem, pull us towards you. Adal Dichsiv, the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, in Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 4, Mashcheni acharecha narutza. Pull us after you, and we will run after you. So Medrash is saying an incredible thing, that we can be judged like animals, or perhaps the deeper depth of what it means to bring a korban is, we're saying we want to be, in a certain way, like an animal. An animal is drawn after its master. We want to be drawn after you, Hashem. We're expressing our desire. We've made a mistake. We've done wrong, but we want you to pull us after you, Hashem. We want to, in a certain way, give up our free will. We don't want to choose what's wrong because that's just what happens. We're just like instinctually choosing whatever is in front of us that's not necessarily good. Hashem, draw us after you. Where will we be drawn? We'll be drawn after you and we'll enter into the Garden of Eden. The pasuk says in Tehillim that Yirviyun, they will enjoy, they will relish, they will receive sustenance from that which is the beautiful things of your house, and they will be sustained, they will be given drink from the Nachal Adonecha, the river of your enjoyments, of your Eden. Draw us after you. Bring us after you when we're doing what's wrong. That's a similar idea that's connected to the animal that we bring as a korban. But now I'd like to read to you from the beginning of the Medrash, and I did it in reverse order because the beginning of the Medrash speaks of a pasuk and compares the human being to a mountain and compares the tzidkus, when a person does what's right, to a mountain. Until now, we've spoken about, we've done wrong. We've sinned, perhaps, or somehow this animal is going to help us reconnect to you, God. Somehow the animal is going to bring us into a connection to God. But before that, there's a different way. There's a different way of connecting to God. Sometimes we need that because we've done wrong. But sometimes it's possible to connect to God through our tzidkus, through our righteousness. And this is a more powerful way. Adav dichsiv, tzidkascha kahare el. The pasuk says in Tehillim that your righteousness, your tzedakah, your charity, God, which we want to emulate, it's like a mighty mountain. What does it mean? So Medrash says some beautiful things. A mountain. What does it mean that righteousness is like a mountain, or God's charity is like a mountain? So if you go out to the mountains over here near Beit Shemesh, if you look at the Bitachon podcasts, you can see the mountains are full of grass. There's grass, there's foliage. It's alive. It's growing. A tzadikim yesh lam maisim toivim. A tzaddik, a person who is righteous, who emulates the way of God, who's searching to do God's will, they have good actions, they have good deeds. And those good deeds, when we do a good deed, when I study a word of Torah, when I teach a word of Torah, when I do a chesed, a kindness for somebody else, when I smile for somebody, when I'm nice to the people around me, my spouse, my children, it's a maisim tovim, it's a good deed, and it's like planting a seed. It's like planting grass. I mentioned, I think last week, that we've been developing our garden. We've lived here, Baruch Hashem, for a long time, 17 years, in this, in Ramat Beit Shemesh. And our backyard was a little bit, the grass had died a few years back, but we planted the grass, and we're watching the grass grow. We are watering the grass. We are waiting for the rain in the winter. We're watering the grass in the summer. The maisim tovim that we do, the good deeds that we do, We're planting seeds. We're planting these beautiful seeds. Now, in this point of the Medrash, so these are the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are like mountains that are full of grass. They're growing. But that's something that's just pretty, right? Grass is, it's a nice thing, but it's not the same as the grapevine that we have, or the lemon tree that we have, or the olive tree that we have. It's just something that's pretty. And sometimes the tzaddikim do good deeds, and they're planting grass, and they're planting that spiritual beauty. And the result is only something that looks nice. If you look at a tzaddik, when you look at the person, you see this is a developed human being. It's a person who has worked on himself. He's become a greater person. He's become more spiritual. He's become more refined. But there's another thing that happens. Davar acher tzidkascha kahareel. There's another type of mountain. You can go onto a mountain, and you can find a mountain that has olive trees, and it has grapevines growing, and it has, you know, all kinds of things can grow on a mountain that are not just to make the mountain look pretty, but also represent something that it's giving out to those around them. The righteous individual is not just there for himself. The righteous individual on a higher level is like Kehareel, is like the mighty mountain who produces fruits that others can benefit from. Very interesting analogy. The Medrash says it's like a golden bell. And inside of the bell, the thing that hangs down in order to make the noise of the bell, it's made out of a precious stone. It's made out of a diamond. Kacha tzadikim mitivin la'atzman v'la'acherim. Right? There is something that the tzaddik, because he becomes better, because he does good deeds, he himself changes. He has that hidden diamond inside of the bell. But it also affects those around him. Right? Think about it. When a bell rings, so everyone around hears the bell. It's a reminder. You see a tzaddik, you see a righteous individual, it reminds you. This is what a human being can look like. This is what we can strive for. Shenemar imu tzaddik kitayv ki prima malayim yachyelu. Say to the righteous individual that it's good. What they're doing is an amazing thing. A person who's a tzaddik, who's righteous, who emulates God, who tries to serve God properly, who does good deeds, who doesn't just care about themselves, also cares about others. Everyone around him will benefit from the fruits. This reminds me of it's a Gemara at the end of Sukkah, the very last Gemara of Sukkah that quotes this pasuk, this verse, and says, "Tayv l'tzadik, tayv l'shcheinai." There's an advantage of living around a righteous individual. When you have a tzadik and you live near them, you're affected by them in a positive way. Now the Medrash is going to go on, and we're nearing the end of our time here, but the Medrash is going to go on, and I'm not going to read it inside, but it speaks about the Rishayim, the wicked people, where they have nothing to show for themselves. Their whole lives are just Mishpatecha Tahoim Rabba. Their lives are just like a deep gash, a deep depth in the ground that leads to nowhere. Their lives are empty because they're not developing their character. They're not developing good deeds. They're not growing anything. They're just an empty space. An empty space. The tzaddikim are like the mountains filled with grass and with fruit trees. And the rishonim, the wicked, are just this empty space that brings about judgment into the world. And as a result of that judgment, great destruction can happen and great difficulties come into the world. But, says the Medrash, it says the Medrash, and with this we're going to finish reading from the Medrash. The mountain, what does a mountain do? The mountains, if you're on a mountain and there's a flood, you can run up to the top of the mountain. The mountain helps you overcome the flooding that's coming up from the Tahaim, that's coming up from the depths. The wickedness of the world causes rising waters, floods to come. Understand this spiritually, but it's also could be true physically. the great mountains are the righteousness, the tzaddikim, the righteous individuals. We have somewhere to run to. We can run up the mountain, and it saves us from the wickedness and the results of what wickedness causes in the world. We can be saved from that by running to the mountains of the righteous. So the righteous serve, right? We spoke until now about how the animal serves to represent us. If we do it correctly, if we have the right thoughts, the animal serves to represent us and atone for us. But there's another way, the Medrash says, that we can atone for ourselves without a korban, right? Today we don't have korbanos, unfortunately, not yet. Hopefully very soon. We don't have sacrifices yet, but we do have tzaddikim. We do have righteous individuals. We do have people that we can learn from. I mentioned, sadly, my Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Per, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, passed away recently, and I spoke about it last week in the Bitachon podcast. And I continue to listen. Baruch Hashem, I have 30 years of shiurim, 30 years of his lectures on my iPod. And I continue to listen to him, and I continue to learn, and I continue to get the fruits of the tzidkus, the righteousness that he developed in his life. And each and every one of us has a chance, has an opportunity throughout our lives to attach ourselves to the tzaddikim, to try to find people that we want to learn from, that we see are the Harareel, the mighty mountains. They're individuals who, when we look at them, we see the grass growing and we see the fruit that they're giving out. And we want to eat from that. We hear the bell that's ringing from the amazing diamond that they have inside. We need to attach ourselves to those people. We need to find those people and attach ourselves to those people. Because we will be raised up. We'll be able to get to the top of the mountain. We have to escape from the deepest depths that the wickedness of the world is trying to drag us down to. The only way to get up there for us now is to attach ourselves to the righteous and to learn what they did and learn what they do and listen to their words and try our best to be like them. When we hear that bell ringing, to try to pay attention to what that bell is saying. So that's what I would like to leave you with today. Shorei Kesev Ayez. So whether it's the Korban itself, which we go through, we wait 8 days and we count through the days and we say, no, it's not the sun and the moon. It's not the heavens and the earth that we're sacrificing to. It's only Tashem. Or whether it's the tzaddik whose life is the same. The human being also can represent and parallel that very same concept that their whole life is for Hashem. Every aspect of their being is for Hashem. However we get to that place, Hashem should bless us that we should be able indeed to learn from those around us who are righteous. And Hashem should help us that we should indeed be able to get to that day when we are able to bring those korbanos, those sacrifices, and wait those 8 days and prove to Hashem and to ourselves that God is all there is. And Hashem should help us to be able to attach ourselves to Him. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.